The greatest joy of my life is to pastor you. The greatest joy of my life is to pray for you. Pray for you when you're hurting. Pray for you when you're on the mountaintop. Any other time of your life, the greatest joy of my life is to serve you. And I promise you, I'll give you all I got. Sometimes I may fall a little short, whatever the case may be, but I'll give you all that I got each and every day. I love this church, and I love you, and I want to just thank you for all that you mean to me. I had a couple extra songs turned in to me, and I think maybe we can do this. Be seated a minute. I know it's late. We'll be out here in just a moment. I had a couple extra songs turned in. Judy?
The grew worse, and when she heard that Jesus came in, the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I touch but his clothes, I shall be made whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus immediately, knowing himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about.
And I'm going to read on verse 8.
And said, who touched my clothes?
And the word of the Lord came
unto him, arise,
this is
the multitude
thronging
to Elijah's
petition, rise and get thee out of
him.
And Jesus looked round about,
which belonged to Sidon,
and
dwelt
there.
Behold, I have commanded a widow
and trembling
woman there to
sustain
me.
So he arose and went to
Zarephath,
and
told him
to the gate of
the
city.
And
he said
unto her,
woman was
daughter,
there gathering sticks,
faith had made
and he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee,
and
water in a vessel that I may drink.
And she was
Heavenly
going to
Father,
fetch
we thank you so much.
And he called to her and
for
said, bring me,
morning,
I pray thee, morsel of bread
in
thine hand.
Lord,
and he said,
today,
as the Lord
you
God, thy God liveth,
us,
I have not cake, but
we
a handful
Lord
of meal a barrel,
you this morning
and a
speak to us.
Little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress
us. Prepare
for me and my son, that we may eat and die.
We need to hear today.
And Elijah said unto her, fear
Father,
not,
that you
go out and
hearts,
do as thou hast said,
and
but
Lord,
make thee thereof a little cake first, and bring it to me, and after make for thee
Lord,
and thy son.
To bring
and thus saith the Lord God of Israel,
bring
the barrel
the
of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil
where you
fail until
us,
the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. So she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that you speak to our hearts tonight. And Lord Jesus, that you just use my feeble lips, Lord, to speak to your people. And I pray, Lord Jesus, that you be glorified in this. And I thank you for all things in Jesus' name. Amen. As I read this text, there were three things that stood out in this portion of Scripture.
And
I think God would want us to just ponder on tonight.
House,
and here in this
daughter,
first portion of Scripture,
of age,
we see Elijah kind of, God is protecting him and telling him where to go.
Years, which
really, he's
all her living
someone without a place. And God says, I want you to go to a place. I want you to go to this place where I'm going to have something prepared, someone prepared who's going to take care of you. You know, I think about how sometimes here we have, we see in this picture of a preacher without a place. You know, the Christian in this day and age is the most out of place person in this world. And honestly, the truth of the matter is the Bible says that we are. It says that we're strangers and pilgrims just passing through.
What cause
really, we're out of place in this world. In 1 Peter 2 and 9, we're told we're a peculiar people.
Thy faith has made
we're a chosen generation. First, go with me there in 1 Peter 2 and 9, just to see the clarity and to see the verse. And I'd like to just read it with you tonight. But how sometimes and how in this life we're really we're out of place in this life. 1 Peter 2 and 9 says that, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. In reality, because we're living our lives to please the Lord, we're really out of place in this world. We live in a world that is full of sin, that the desire of this world is to please the God of this world, by the way, who's Satan. We know that we live in a society that has, you know, we have a predominant society that today, the homosexual society, the drunkards really are ruling our society today. And you know, we're out of place in this world. When we come preaching the gospel, speaking to people, we're really out of place. To the world, we're, you know, to the world, they say, what are you, you
know? Many were there for many reasons. What age are you from? Skeptical of this
they meeting. Treat us as if we're old-fashioned.
Some had their own agenda.
They treat us as if we're speaking
some
a language in reality
you.
That they don't understand.
Some may be doubtful.
And the truth of the matter is, the Bible tells us that if the gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. We're in a lost generation. We're people that are out of place. But I'm glad Jesus said we are. Jesus said that we're a people, or that we are pilgrims and strangers just passing through. Hallelujah. I'm glad that someday Jesus is going to return. But from now, we are a people without a place.
Passing through.
We're living in a world that really we shouldn't feel comfortable.
A little bit.
Amen. I really feel eerie when a Christian begins to feel comfortable, because no matter how comfortable you feel, if you're living for God, you're out of place in this world.
But she heard of Jesus.
So
somewhere along the way, she heard of Jesus. Maybe she heard that she Jesus.
And secondly, the second part of this
street, I don't know exactly all that went behind that, but the Bible says she came in
and here we see he also comes across.
Somehow she perhaps thought hope. She had a need. She had an issue of blood. She was very ill. She'd gone to every doctor, and no doctor could go ahead and help her.
And when
she'd
I
gone
prepare
to
this meal, we're going to eat
gone
this
to other
meal.
People. She tried to receive comfort. She tried to be
it's
healed.
That God
she had a great need, a physical need. The Bible says that,
with
these doctors,
world,
she spent all that she could. She was all out of money. She financially had gone as far as she could go. There was no one, a human being, if you will, that could go ahead and do a thing for her. Others, I think of the people in this throng, others in this throng as well, had needs also. I am sure that there were others in this throng. They were as desperate as this woman, not knowing what to do. They maybe they were at wit's end. No doubt this woman was at wit's end. She was tired. 12 years she's been sick. 12 years she was sick and tired of feeling this way. She'd gone to doctor after doctor, and nothing seemed to be helping her. And she was probably wondering, not knowing what to do. There was others in this throng. They were skeptical.
People
some
sometimes
that
there
are
such
sure
their life looks like such a finality. There are people
they
without
had, they were at wit's end.
This
but
lady
this woman
gathering
had,
sticks,
put
and when
action,
it comes across,
forward.
She's
she had action. She
knowing that it's probably going
here.
To be her last meal,
this woman
and she said,
to
"I'm just going
to
gather this
I
mean, up."
She had a sense of urgency to get to him. I don't know whether in this throng here. Let me use this red mic if I can. I don't know if in this throng of people. Testing 1, 2. Okay, we're on. Amen. We got power. But I don't know if in this throng of people. I don't know how many people are there. The Bible says a throng, probably a good 100 or so. A lot of people were surrounding Jesus. They were interested. They were doubtful. They were skeptical. Many different personalities there. Many different circumstances there. No doubt there are people with need, but they just didn't know what to do.
And she's gathering
this thing. They got near Jesus.
In verse 12, she said,
I don't know, but there was a woman there.
A
she
cake,
had a need.
But a handful
she was
of meal in a barrel.
She was
and a
weak,
little
if you
oil
will.
And cruise.
She said,
behold,
if only I
gathering
could get to Jesus, I think everything would be all right. If only I could go ahead and give him my need. If only maybe, the Bible says, if I could just touch his clothes, I think everything would be all right. I don't know how much strength this woman had. I could see her perhaps with all the strength that she could muster. Maybe pale, maybe weak. But she says, I'm going to try to get to Jesus in the throng of people, maybe fighting her way through the crowd. And with everything that she had, she was so trying
so
to get to the one who could help her.
That at least at 12 years old.
And it is not working.
You feel you have.
All right. No hope. Amen. Okay.
But it's
she
the state of our society today.
And perhaps she thought only if she could get to Jesus,
you know,
he could take care of my illness.
You know what
he can take care of my problem.
To the world
he could go ahead here this morning. Maybe you're like this certain
Jesus
woman. You've got a need. You've got a heartache. You've got a disappointment. You've got maybe a wayward child. Maybe your marriage is on the rocks. I don't know, but you got a heavy heart maybe this morning. Hey, I want to include you along with this woman. You know what? Maybe there are a lot of people surrounding Jesus, so to speak. Maybe you feel like there's no way, but I want to plead with you this morning. Why don't you get to Jesus? Why don't you do everything you can? Maybe later on, bring that burden that you have and bring it to the altar. Why don't you go ahead and reach out and touch the hem of his garment, if you will. There was many here. Many of them bumped into Jesus.
Having what?
They got close to Jesus. They were curious of Jesus. But only
I think it's so important. The job preachers without a
only
place.
One
reached out on purpose to touch him. Only one touched the hem of his garment. Only one came in need, desiring the need to be filled. No, I'm sure there are other needs, but she had a need. And she knew that if I could only get to Jesus, she knew if I could only
bring the gospel to every creature that's in this world, there is people without hope.
I think everything would be all right.
And people without hope, we have a preacher without hope, or preacher without a place, lady without hope. What was the answer for both of them?
I'm trying to fight through the crowd. Jesus, Jesus, wait for me. I want to talk to you. Jesus.
I'm glad
but she made her way to Jesus. This one came up behind him and touched the border of his garment.
Here,
and all the crowd of people
in
many different circumstances.
Bread. She said, I got no hope. There's nothing that I have. And Elijah said unto her, verse 13, fear not and do as I have said, but make me thereof a little cake first and bring it unto me after that. And after make for thee and for thy son. For thus
only one
saith
came,
the Lord God of Israel.
And she left differently. The needs were there. Oh, the skeptics were
neither
there.
The
uncertain people were there, not sure about this man. Oh, maybe the heavy hearts were there. Maybe, I don't know, Jesus was such an interesting person. They just wanted to be near him. There was a throng of people, and they could have had what this woman had, but they were very casual about their need.
I'm glad that our God is not a God of halfway salvation.
They just didn't know what to do. They were
afraid. I'm glad that our God is a God of a complete salvation. My redemption
but there was a
is
woman
a complete
had
salvation. I'm standing
he
here as saved as I'm ever going
to
be.
Only I can get to Jesus.
Because
I
God
think
is not a halfway
everything's
going to
be all right. Let me just
He's
stop
a God
and say this.
Without limits. He told Luke, he told us in the verse of Luke.
You feel like you've gone
that,
just as far as you can
anything
go. You look at
the
New Year's.
Anytime
I
start
living
my God, anytime,
I
listen, it's me.
Dirtier.
I'm the one that lives
see
God. God.
Change in my life. I got this struggle.
My God has no
limits. Hey, do you have a need this morning? Don't you run to the world? Don't you run to drugs? Don't you run to alcohol? Don't you? You know, it's amazing to see the people that go through all these heartaches and all the trials,
anything that I may ever ask
and so forth. What they're doing is they're running to the wrong person. They feel like they never get ahead.
The answer
to
for
the
a
wrong
lost
place.
And dying world. Look at
they're
Matthew
running,
19:26.
The wrong person.
Sometimes
the truth of the matter is, let me just say
this.
You may go through all you may be the Lord's valley of your life.
God
and you may think, well, the only way out is going out drinking every night and boozing it up. Hey, let me tell you something. After
this
you
new
come
year,
down
sometimes it makes us good to realize that we have a serve a living
friend,
and powerful
my
God
friend,
that really is one that is unchangeable. I change. I'm not the same person I was a year ago. I got a little rounder, a little heavier. You know, I changed my hair. I got less hair than I did a year ago. I look at the mirror now and I just see more baldness.
You
know, that my hairline is getting bigger and bigger as it goes back, you know. I see more reflection coming out of here than I ever did before. I'm changing.
Bear your need.
But God doesn't change.
You know what? Only one touched
for
him.
He ever abides faithful.
Only one touched him of his
Matthew
garment.
19:26.
One came in need, desiring
about
for that need
God
to be filled.
Faithful.
One had determination.
Matthew 19:26.
You know, sometimes you got to have a little bit of determination and grit.
Sometimes
to go
I
ahead
keep
and overcome that
there,
struggle. You know, you
tonight,
may think,
Matthew
you know, 19, I've tried the church way or I've tried Jesus way and
says,
so forth. Hey, you know what?
Jesus
and
beheld
but the thing is,
and
you
said unto them, with men, this is impossible.
You know, we feel like, well, you know, it should be a little bit easier. It should be a little bit easier to go ahead and deal with this. It should be a little bit simpler, if you will. But the truth of the matter is, you know what? Sometimes when we feel like the path is not that easy, we're on our way. We want to go ahead and get to Jesus, so to speak. We try to reach out and so forth. The truth is, he's a lot
Mark chapter 9.
But just about the time that we're ready to go ahead and turn the
verse
corner.
Verse 23.
Just about the time where
Jesus
we feel like we
him,
just cannot keep going.
If
we
thou
gotta
can't
just
believe
stop and
all
put,
things
no
are what?
Preachers, no use. Nobody understands. I don't even think Jesus understands.
Promise?
Yes, my friend, Jesus.
I don't serve a God of the impossible. I serve a God of the possible. I serve a God of the impossible. He can do all things as long
help.
As I believe.
There was nothing casual about
you know,
this encounter. She wanted something, and she got it. She was no doubt tired of your illness.
You know what Jesus questioned to Martha?
You tired of it just kind of running you down? Are you tired of going to the world, trying to go to the world, places in the world, devices to try to go ahead and get pleasure? You're tired of that? Hey, why don't you just bring it to Jesus this morning? She was broke. This woman was broke financially. She couldn't go any further. She didn't know what else to do. But perhaps
we
hearing the
God
fact that Jesus was passing by
to a lost
the one that
and
healed
dying
many.
World.
The one who came to seek and to save
hope.
That which was lost.
Christian,
the one who has worked miracles. I think she must have thought, if I can just get to
you
Jesus.
You know what I'm determined to do this year?
Maybe.
I'm determined to serve a God without limits.
This
I'm not
going
to limit him to as far as how many he can save.
This was a determined
I'm not going to limit him to as far as what he can do for me physically. I'm not going to limit
him
to as far
as what he can do for me financially. She had a desire, no doubt, in her mind.
I'm
tired of this illness.
I'm not going to limit him to as far as what he can do for me. I'm going to let him do whatever he wants to do.
I'm tired of this brokenness. I'm tired of this, whatever the case may be.
Without limits.
And you
Amen.
Need to be determined
God bless you this evening.
To get to the one
Amen.
Who can help you so that you can be. You know, many today are casual in our Christian life.
Amen. That was good. God,
you know,
awesome.
Again, this lady wasn't casual. She was determined.
Every Tuesday night,
there was a lot of people in this throng that
just
they were there.
Put your ear to the
many
door.
Many different
you
circumstances.
Hear
some you know,
of
the Bible
young
says,
men
of course, that
who have testified and been called.
When she went ahead and touched
the
hem
along
the
way
of his
the
garment.
And,
you know, the Bible
you know,
says,
we have
who touched me?
Two.
He asked, who touched me?
I've asked Brother Ron to kind of
or who
do
touched
it this
me
way.
In Luke's,
and
Luke's,
one or two of the preacher
who touched
boys.
Me?
And then we have one
and
of
Peter
our,
goes
our church,
ahead and says, Jesus, there's many, many people around here. They've been bumping into you. There's many people. And you ask,
young men
me?
Preach. And no, each and every year, as you hear him preach more, you see the progression.
Because virtue or power.
And it's exciting. I just want to say this.
Of course, the Bible teaches here.
The,
as well,
there's going to be four young men
you know,
in the course of this
there's
evening.
There's a note here.
I've got to
throw this out at you. In verse
and,
number 31, it is
maybe praying for them.
Him,
I remember when I was called to preach.
Who touched me? He said unto, and he looked around. Jesus looked around.
He called me
to
up.
See her.
And just before the service, one evening,
you know,
service,
he goes and asks, who touched me? You know,
I heard
Jesus
you called
to
preach.
Jesus already knew. He looked
so
around to see her. It was how did he know if it was a him or her? Jesus already knew that someone went ahead and touched him, and it was a her. And who touched me? Of course, this lady came forward and admitted. But the woman fearing and trembling,
and but you know, one of the greatest things I learned from this particular preacher
before him and told him
was if you're a preacher, if you're God, if you're called to preach, then start preaching.
What's going to happen? What's going to happen to me?
You know, and immediately, you know, I did. I mean, I was my first sermon behind a pulpit in a church situation like this, and it wasn't long after that my first pulpit was a nursing home.
But you know what?
You know, I just hit the ground running. You know, he says, if you're going to preach, and that just etched in my mind, start preaching. And so I went ahead and, you know, as a 16-year-old boy, called to preach. I started preaching in nursing homes and doing different things like that, preaching on a bus route, different
things. I don't know.
It's just a whole lot of fun.
You know, let me just say this.
And I know what it's like, that first initial time getting up behind a pulpit, the preacher's pulpit.
I
mean, I was shaking in my shoes, maybe some hour tonight. But be praying for them as they do that,
I did.
As they preach tonight, and
I mean,
but also be praying about where
even
God's going to take
her. He said unto her daughter,
I'm excited.
By faith,
I'm really excited
old.
About what God
go
has done in our young people this year.
Behold,
I'm excited about what God has done in our church.
You know,
but seeing the hustle and the bustle of the young people,
she
they're excited and serving on buses and doing different
Christians
things and whatever. It just blesses my
gizzard.
Let
me just gizzard, stop and
amen.
Say that and explain.
And
then
you say, what's
what
a gizzard?
There.
Well, we'll talk about
you know,
that later.
Oftentimes, a lot of Christians today, they get tired.
And,
right
now,
we're going to
have
weary, whatever,
Brandon come on up.
Weary and well-doing. The Bible says, be not weary and well-doing. Sometimes you just get tired. You feel like you take two steps forward and you take about five steps back, and you feel like you never progress. And the truth of the matter is, you know, It hurts me as a preacher to see people just quit. It hurts me to see Christians just go ahead and quit church or quit their Christian life or so forth. And by the way, I'm not saying losing your salvation. You're saved. You're once saved. Nobody can ever take that away. Boy, thank God for salvation. Thank God it's a free gift. Nobody, it doesn't matter whether you've blown it. Doesn't matter whether you've maybe looked at something wrong or said something wrong. You know what? If you ask Christ into your heart, you know what? You are saved. He or in the palm of his hand. Nobody can go ahead and pluck you out. But you know, the truth of the matter is we often as Christians can become way too casual in the Christian life. You know what? There was nothing casual about this one woman. She just said, well, you know, if I get to Jesus, then, well, it'll be all right. If I don't, well, I'll just go home and I'll just have to deal with it. No, this lady was determined. You know, we ought to come to church determined that we're going
to
leave.
It is vain for a person to cling to.
You know, we just
kind of
casually come to church.
His good deeds
it's no wonder why we don't grow. It's no wonder why we people will leave the same way they came. They leave with the same need. They leave with the same heartache. They leave with the same problems. They leave no different than when they came. Why would what if, why leave that way? You know, the truth of the matter is, let me just encourage you, Christian. You know, you ought to come to church expecting something.
As to his condition.
No, not just casual. Well, I fulfilled my duty. Well, great. If you just come to church and you feel like it's that duty that you got to fulfill, great. I'm glad you're here. But the truth of the matter is, there's a whole lot more to it. You ought to come before you come to church. You ought to get up in the morning and say, okay, God, you feed me. You give me something this morning. It's been a difficult week this morning. I need encouragement. I need some inspiration. I need something this morning. You know what? Instead of just casually coming to church, why don't you decide, hey, God, you give me something this morning. I want to leave different than when I came. I want to leave with a little spring in my step that the preacher talks about all the time. You know, we don't have to leave the same way we came. We don't have to. We don't have to go ahead and be down in the mully grubs. We come in with the mully grubs down and so forth. We don't have to. You know, we're with God's people. We're on our way to heaven. If you're saved this morning, you know, you've got a mansion in heaven. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. You know, you've got an inheritance in heaven. You're saved this morning. You don't have to leave church the same way you came. You know, it's no wonder why we don't grow. Could it be that we're having so much fun with our pet sin that we just don't want to do away with it? That's why we don't be changed. We might be having fun in that pet sin. It's that sin that will leave you miserable so much. So much. It'll go ahead and leave you miserable. Is that sin so important?
On a cross, he took the sin of all upon himself, who knew no sin, and became sin for us. So
but listen, let me just read this statement. Could it be
but
that
just as all die in Adam, some here so all morning, who believe in Christ's atoning death and resurrection
pet sin in your life.
Live in him?
There's this little thing in your life that you just don't want to go ahead and give up. I don't want to give it up. I'm going to hold on to it. Whatever it is.
In the book of Judges.
You know what it is.
Chapter 17, verse
I don't know, but you know what. You can put your finger on it. Could it be that there's some pet sin that you just don't want to do away with it? And it's that sin, by the way, that's going to leave you.
People today, a little different.
It's that sin, by the way, if you don't go ahead and deal with it, you know what? God's going to hound you right there with it. He's going to hound you. And by the way, you ought to deal with it because that sin will grow as
they want to maintain the rebellious nation.
It'll go ahead and overtake you if you don't care.
Inherited from Adam.
But the truth of the matter is that sin is that sin so much more important than the forgiveness and grace of
Almighty. Exactly what to do.
That one thing that's keeping you from growing, that one thing that kind of keeps you from maybe paying attention fully to the preaching, that one thing that'll keep you from reading the Word of God throughout the week, that one thing, yeah, what is it? What is that one sin that might be keeping you from being what God wants you to be? Hey, let me tell you something. You can play with sin all you want, but sin, when it is finished, the Bible says,
the Bible tells us that who trusts in the Lord and is dwelt in his Holy Spirit
go ahead and play with
will
it.
Receive.
Go ahead and play with the sin of immorality. It will go ahead and eat you up. Go ahead and play with the sin of alcohol. It will go ahead and eat you up. Go ahead and play with the sin of drugs. It will go ahead and destroy you. Hey, listen to me. Listen to me. Hey, why don't you just go ahead? Whatever it is. And so many people, they have needs. They're wondering, why is it that we have these struggles? They wonder, why is it that I keep on having these needs? It might be that we're running to the wrong source. It might be that we're running to drugs. It might be that we're running to alcohol. And the truth that matters, as I mentioned a moment ago, you know, when you come down off all that, is that problem, is that need gone?
No one accepts that anyone has a
do you feel any better?
The right to tell them what to
no,
do.
Generally we don't. You know what? Why? Because that need is still there. Well, we ought to run to the one who can take care of that need. Why is it that we leave church the same way? Is it because of the fear of coming to the altar and giving a burden to Christ? Is it because, well, if I go to the altar, people are going to laugh at you? No, you know what people do here at Faith Baptist Church? When someone comes down and they get saved, when someone comes down and they get right with God, you know what we do around here? We rejoice. We get excited about that. I get excited. Just last week, there was a man here, didn't know for sure he was on his way to heaven, but let me tell you something. By the time he left church Sunday morning, he knew for sure he had a home in heaven. Someone showed him from the Word of God how he could be saved, and he left here a whole different man. You know what? He came. He left a whole different way than when he came. He came lost. He didn't know for sure he had a home in heaven, but let me tell you something. He came to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ right down here on the front row. And my friend, you can go ahead and do the same thing.
Good job.
Why is it that we don't come to the altar simply because we're afraid to?
Amen.
Why we're afraid what someone might think? Hey,
turn
not here.
Number. Let's see.
Don't you be afraid of what someone may think.
Number
you know
one,
what? If you got to get
one,
something right with God,
we're gonna
teenager,
go ahead
if you got to get something right with
here,
God,
we
church
sing,
member, you know what? At invitation
what
time,
had,
when the music
Jesus
plays,
first,
I
first,
surrender first. All. Why don't you literally go ahead and surrender it all to Jesus and lay it out on the altar and reach out to his garment and say, Jesus, thank you. Why is it one will not pray and ask God to move on their heart and their church?
What a friend we have in Jesus. Oh.
one reads your prayer.
What a privilege.
Why wouldn't one come to church and be close to God?
Everything he's got in prayer.
Why wouldn't you want to come? You know, I mentioned this, I love this illustration. A lot of us, a lot of people.
Are we weak and heavy laden, covered with a load of care?
You know, if I had a dry sponge up here,
precious Savior still our refuge.
You get that sponge dipped in the Word of God. You get that sponge dipped into the preaching, and allow God to go into some. Hey, you can leave here useful. You can leave here different.
Take it to the Lord in prayer.
Why wouldn't one
want to take your sin?
Why wouldn't one want to have that burden?
Why wouldn't one soulless there?
Want that gift? Why wouldn't
right,
one
you
want
may be seated.
That gift of salvation?
And Chris.
Why wouldn't one not want to ask God to open their heart and plead the Holy
Amen.
Spirit to feed them and strengthen them according to the Word of God during the preaching? Oh, I challenge you this morning, my friend. I challenge you this. Even if you haven't already, you just say a quick prayer right now. God, you feed me this morning. God, I want my sponge filled with water, with the water of the Holy Ghost, with the water of the Word of God. I want my sponge filled so I could be useful. I want to leave church differently than how I came this morning. Why wouldn't you want to leave different this morning? Why just be so casual about church? Well, I came and fulfilled church. Well, great, I'm glad that you're here, but why don't you go ahead and decide this year I'm going to leave church every service differently. I'm going to leave closer to God than ever. I'm going to leave with the power of God. I'm going to leave being right with God. Why don't you this morning decide that? I challenge you, you open your mouth and you open your heart and you feast on the unsearchable riches of Christ. You ask God to go ahead and do something each and every service this year in your private devotion time. You ought to ask God to go ahead and do something in your private devotions each and every day. Boy, you ought to get in the Word of God every day, by the way. I challenge you to do that. Well, I challenge you to come to church and be faithful. You know, we ought to quit our talking, quit our sleeping, and quit our nonchalant attitude. If I could take church or leave it. You know, we ought not have that kind of attitude. The Bible says, forsaking not the assembling of ourselves. That means when the church doors are open, and if you're available, you're not at work somewhere. Boy, you ought to be in church. You know, the greatest place for fellowship is
everything that hath breathed.
You know what? I have no doubt that I can find the right kind of friends here.
In those six verses,
I'm not going to the world today or tonight for my friends. I don't have to go to the public school for my friends. I may have to go to school there, but I don't have to go to school there. I can go to the youth group in the local independent Bible-believing Faith Baptist Church and get some good friends there. I can, as an adult, as a church member, I can get my friends right here. Hey, you know, I like hanging with the men. You all, you ladies ought to get to know some of the ladies here. Hey, you know what I'm trying to say? You know, we ought to go ahead and stop having this attitude. I can take church or leave it. Hey, come and expecting something. Come and get your friends
like
here.
We do with our hymn books and every
open
service.
Up and feast on the things of God.
We can sing
people
solos,
come to church
duets,
casually.
Trios, quartets,
they leave. They never leave
choir.
Changed.
Some
they're
of
the
us
ones
can also
people ask months
use instruments
from now.
To give
whatever
God praise, as Sean does with his piano in his eye.
Believe me, I know what I'm
with
about.
My trumpet. One
talk
goal
about the
I
ones
have
who
for this
don't
year,
come with their
this new year, is to try
decide to go ahead
challenge
and
some of us to learn
levels.
How to use some
change.
Different instruments. To
talk about the ones
the glory
who,
of our
you know, care less whether whether they're there for the preaching or not, or they come and they don't ask God for anything. They don't open their mouth. They don't open their heart, if you will, and feast on the unsearchable riches of Christ.
And
you know, they're the ones that are
created.
Cause
we
other church members to ask
give
me,
God pleasure
preacher,
by. Praising him in different ways. Not all of us know how to use an instrument, but we can learn how to. And
don't forsake the assembling of yourselves.
It will take practice, but as Pastor always says, anything worthwhile takes effort.
Will come change.
And yes, Pastor, we, us teenagers,
they'll come inspired.
We pay attention while you
they'll come excited. become excited about the preaching of
Let
the word of God.
Let me end this message by saying,
there's some here, and I won't name, but there's some here that just encourage their preacher to no end.
So I challenge us to seek out
church, it's secure,
our God-given like talents and use them for the glory of
not because of me and my preaching. Let me tell you something. You know, there's many more people out there more eloquent than I have.
That's good. Good job. Amen.
And you ought to
praise
decide
the Lord.
Coming to church.
It's a chorus. 622, if you need it. Hymn number 622, or a chorus. It's actually in our songbook.
They'll go ahead and be excited.
I'm
going to
sing an a cappella.
They'll go ahead and say, and I'm not
I'll turn it there. Turn to it, rather, I should say. And we'll sing, Thank You, Lord, for Saving My Soul.
And they may laugh a little bit in the service. And we like to laugh here at Faith Baptist Church.
Let's go ahead and sing, Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank You, Lord, for making me whole. Thank You, Lord, for giving to me Thy great salvation so rich and free. Let's sing it again. Thank You, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank You, Lord, for making me whole. Thank You, Lord, for giving to me Thy great salvation so rich and free. One more time. Thank You, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank You, Lord, for making me whole. Thank You, Lord, for giving to me Thy great salvation so rich and free.
Take a couple moments at this time. Anybody have a good word for the Lord tonight you'd like to share? Testimony?
Of course, it's talking about the early church.
Something you'd like to share?
You know, these people, they came curious that day. They talk about the day of Pentecost.
Something good happened?
Many, I'm sure, came curious, wondering what's going on. Big revival meeting. It started out that way, if you will. But you know what?
Oh, yes, sir. I'm sorry. Yeah, just wait to me. Yes, sir. Go ahead.
There
he is. Amen. Yeah, man with spirit. I like it. Go ahead.
Let me read a few verses. Acts chapter 2. Talking about the church now. Talking about the first church. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Yeah, and after everything had happened, you know, the Peter got up and he preached. You can just take time. It's a long chapter. Talks about the whole day and how the Holy Ghost worked. And,
amen.
And spoke to people in their own tongue, and many people.
It's encouraging. Amen. I'm glad to hear that.
People were saved that day, and as a result of them getting saved, after you get saved, the Bible says, then they that gladly received his word, that means they got saved, they were baptized by immersion.
And
they got baptized the same day. They were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And verse number 42, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, breaking doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread.
About it
in
probably
prayer.
Youth group
and fear came upon every soul,
like
and many wonders and signs
peers.
Were done by the apostles,
you know,
and all that
amazing.
Were
they
together
get up and they do a
and had all
job,
things common.
They work hard. I mean, they come in
and
they've
to all men as every
more.
Man had need.
I could
and
understand
they
how he ate.
Daily
Sean
with one accord in the temple.
I don't know how he ate.
This is where the first church was started. Where the early church was started right here. And they heard the word of God, and many went ahead and stayed behind. They continued in the doctrine of the apostles. They continued preaching the word of God. They went out and they told people about Jesus.
Anyways,
they were continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread and house to house
sir,
and eat their meat and with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Hey, let me tell you something. These people, you know what? There was a change in their life. Boy, they went to church one day. They never heard of what was going on. Some of them didn't even know. Couldn't even speak in the same tongue that Peter. But the Holy Ghost came and they heard the gospel. In their own tongue, and many people came to church that day, and they left changed. They were saved, and they were baptized, and the Bible says they continued on. They didn't go ahead and quit. They didn't go ahead and say, hey, well, you know, the day of Pentecost is all over. No, the day of Pentecost still went day after day after day after day. Hey, what I'm saying, they continued on. My friend, you continue on this morning. Don't you give up on God. Don't you quit on the church. Don't you quit reading your Bible. Don't you just casually come to Jesus. You may have a heavy burden this morning. Why don't you, maybe you haven't done this in a long time. Invitation, why don't you go ahead and maybe take your husband's hand or your wife's hand. Or you come yourself, teenager. Or you come yourself. And say, I need a touch of him of Jesus' garment. Crystal, I want to leave differently this morning. I want to reach out. I have a need. And why don't you go ahead and lay it at Jesus' feet and leave change this morning. Don't let church be casual to you. There's some here today. You came. Sin has weighed you down. You're without hope. You're without Jesus. You're without knowing that you can have eternal life in heaven. By the way, it'll be your choice. If you want
to
leave
different.
We'll
just read it again just to remind you. Praise ye the Lord.
Choice.
Praise God in his sanctuary.
I plead with you
praise
this morning
him in the firmament of his
saved,
power. Praise him for
out.
His mighty acts. Praise
and
him according
Jesus
to, the
and
his, to his excellent graciousness.
And when you get saved,
the
Bible
the
says
trumpet.
That we result in love,
praise
joy,
him with the timbrel and
peace,
dance. Praise him with the
long-suffering,
strength, and
gentleness,
praise
goodness,
him upon the loud
faith,
cymbals. Praise him upon the high-sounding cymbals.
You know what? That's the fruit
let
of the
everything
Spirit.
That hath breath.
You know what? You go ahead and get
praise
saved. You know what?
Lord.
You'll be filled with love.
Praise
you'll be filled with some joy. You'll be filled
praise.
With long-suffering and gentleness and goodness and faith and meekness and temperance. And you know what? God will go ahead and give you the fruit of the Spirit. It'll bring you a joy that you never
This is the way the devil works on both ways. When we're in the mountaintop, we feel like we don't need God. When we're in the valley, we feel like rejecting God because of where he put us. But the Bible says we're supposed to praise him no matter where we are.
Leave knowing Jesus as your personal Savior. Today you can know for sure you're saved. You can know you're on your way to heaven. You can know your sins are forgiven. You can know you're a child of God. The Bible says in John 1:12, but as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God.
Praise him because he delivers us from our enemies.
You can know that you have
praise him because he's our strength and our shield.
All you have to
praise him because he's the king of the earth.
You know what, maybe
because his name is good. Supposed to praise him because
you got to fight the old devil back.
His name is pleasant. Supposed to praise him.
You know what, let me tell you something. If there is anybody that the devil's trying to resist this morning is that unsaved person. He doesn't want anybody to be saved. He doesn't want to see anybody come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. You know, the truth of the matter is, hell, by the way, was created for the devil and his angels. The Bible says that death and hell were cast in a lake of fire. It's not created for you and I. You know, the truth of the matter is, this morning, the old devil, he'd like to try to keep you from being saved. If you're not saved this morning, I plead with you this morning. If you don't know Jesus, you just go ahead and fight your way through the crowd. You fight the old devil and the demons, and you keep your eyes focused on Jesus.
They get the blessings,
and you reach
like
out to him this morning.
Get saved, things that are great and everything.
Hey, backslidden Christian,
know,
you can know,
class,
you can have
and,
your
you know,
joy back.
The bus route, and the bus route,
you know, maybe you're here today and you've not been walking with God the way you should, and you've not been doing the things that you should, perhaps, and you're saved. You know for sure you're on your way to heaven. You can go to a day when you receive Jesus, but the joy is gone, isn't it?
Oh, you'll get used to that.
One of the key fruits of the Spirit that you can have as a Christian, that the Holy Spirit gives you, is joy, and it's gone, isn't it?
The
joy's been zapped, so to speak. Maybe because of some sin that you've allowed in your life, or whatever the case may be. Sin may be lurking in your life, and it destroys the blessings of God for you. It destroys your testimony, backslidden one. It hurts your countenance. It hurts those around you. It hurts your preacher. You know why it hurts me? When I see someone that knows better and they're backslide, because I know.
And our walk with God should be have a lot of praising him in there too, because that's the reason God.
I know where that sin, that
and
they do not want to let go. No, it's mine. It's mine. I enjoy it too much. I enjoy it too much. Hey, Jesus paid for that sin. He died for that sin. Why don't you just go ahead and don't let it go ahead and grow as a cancer in your life? Why don't you this morning just drop it at Jesus' feet?
Supposed to praise him
and say, I
want to
go ahead and go full bore for Jesus this morning.
I
want to get back on track this morning. Hey, it's a new year. Why don't you decide today? Reach out to the hymn next.
Amen. Yeah, I know I'm getting the idea that we're just supposed to praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Everything we do, man, everything we do, we ought to be just praising the Lord. Amen. Oh, that's good. That's good. Back and back.
Maybe
Joel,
maybe one
come on up here,
was
sir.
Broke.
Amen.
You spent all trying to get things right. I just finished. He went to every doctor
all right.
Of the
I'm
day,
glad to see that I'm not the only one that likes the Psalms. Would you turn to Psalms 39 now?
You know what?
Good preaching so far tonight.
Mm.
Oh, God's good. God's good. I tell you, last year I wouldn't have seen me here in a year, but I'm just excited about what God's going to do in the next year.
Virtue's
all
taken
right.
out of
Psalms
me. Who touched my Peter
verse 4
ass?
Will I read.
You know,
this will be my text verse.
Many, many people, yeah,
Lord, make me know
you.
My name.
There's many, many people here.
Hands,
why would you ask such a question? Because virtue, power has been taken out of me.
Dear Lord, I pray you just, Lord, I pray you just fill me with your presence, Lord, and you fill me with your power, Lord. I feel you. I pray you fill this place with your presence, God. And God, I just pray that you use me, Lord. I know I'm not worthy of you using me, Lord, but I just pray you do, God. In your name, amen. What I want to look at tonight is how short we have and how short life really is. We all just went through the past year, and we realize that there's been a lot of good times in the last year. There's been a lot of bad times in the last year, hard times and great times.
Maybe you're
but
unsaved
if
this
we knew
morning.
The
you're like, I don't know what else to do. I don't know what else to do.
Christ.
Hey, you know, first of all, why don't you get saved?
Compared
and
with
Jesus
eternity,
to guide you?
Life is very
but maybe
short.
Maybe you're a Christian. Your life is broken down a little bit. You know what? Jesus is that
better
one.
Our walk
he's
with
the,
Christ.
We're the clay, and he's the potter.
Our
and let
ability
go ahead and
to serve him.
You
first, I want to look at how we should never be idle. We should never stand still in the walk in the Christian life. We should never be looking for the next thing to do. Or we should always be looking for the next thing to do. And we should always be looking for it. In the Bible, if you turn to 2 Timothy with me, I think most of you know where I'm going. 2 Timothy, though, verse 14 is where we're going
to
start reading. It says, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned, and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make these wise unto salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction and righteousness.
You know, some
for correction, for instruction and righteousness. The man of God may be thoroughly furnished unto all good works. I want to show you that we should never be idle in our Bible reading. And lots of people set a goal to read through the Bible in the year. I think that's a great goal. And I've tried that many times. I've come up short many times, and I've done it a lot of times too.
My thought in
but
the, nutshell,
the wisdom that's in this Bible, the Bible says that we should look for wisdom.
The Bible says
we should search after it as hidden treasure,
this book of
and that we should look through it for
of
gold.
Know,
and there's lots of gold in this Bible. There's no question in your life you'll face that you won't find the answer to in this Bible if you look hard enough. These are the inherent words of God, and this is what can change your life. And if you don't follow it, it's what
you know, when I read all of this, of course, Moses, let me just
Paul told Timothy that he should stay in the things he learned and the Holy Scriptures, as I said. The advice worked then, and I know it will now. If we stay in this book, we'll have the right doctrine, as these verses say. We will be correctly approved, and not only corrected, but instructed in righteousness in the way we should go.
God
this book is what we
to
need to be
but
in every day
God
to be properly aligned
anger,
in God's will.
And he
we
lost
should always be in a prayerful
attitude,
too, and I'll look at
that
next.
Man that was at Moses
if you
feet,
turn with me to Luke,
Joshua was a man who gave the reins. And I'm not going to take time
Luke
because
chapter
of time.
18.
Can't go all the way through it. But if you read verse 1,
I'm not
one,
preaching
right
anything
through,
no one's heard before,
eight,
I don't think. And
I kind of
I think it's
see
good
there,
to
Joshua,
get a reminder of those things sometimes
a little bit nervous. Now here he is. He's
Luke,
filling Moses' shoes. By the way, Moses was a great man of God. Yeah, he made a mistake, just like we all do. Moses, great man of God. Moses led them millions of people, and
maybe
he dealt with
though.
A whole lot of things with them millions of people and so forth.
No, it's not.
Now,
but I know the verse says that.
And if you read there, you know what? There's a few different places that indicate to me that Joshua was a little bit nervous about his new position.
God can't meet our needs if he doesn't
know
them.
The Bible says all
truth
there.
That's a simple truth that's very simple, but it's very honest.
Be strong.
If he doesn't know, his hand's not shortened and his ear's not heavy, as Isaiah says,
this people
he can still reach down. It's just you blocking him is what it says. Your iniquity. If you remove the iniquity in your life and you actually pray to him, God will pour out his
you know, that tells
greatest
me that
blessing,
Joshua
his biggest blessing, and your darkest hour of personal
and
need,
basically
personal
what
tragedy.
God is saying there, you know
and secondly
what?
And lastly,
you want to go ahead and
I want to look at if our life is
wisdom.
So short and if we're so frail, we should never be comfortable, as we already heard tonight.
Get in the
If you move over to Colossians.
Joshua,
now,
listen, don't be casual
Colossians
about
chapter
this
3,
thing.
We're gonna
walk
look.
With me. Don't you be casual about the Word of God. You want some success.
The,
by the way, the only,
find,
the only
I remember,
place you can find success in the Bible is right here, Joshua 1:8. And he says, you want success? This book of law, God says, this
chapter 3,
book
we're
of the law
shalt
thou shalt not
if
depart
then
out of thy
with
mouth,
Christ,
but thou shalt meditate
above,
therein
where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Say
thou
your affections on things above,
that thou
not things on the earth.
To do
for you are
according
dead, and
to
your
all
life is
that
hidden
is written
with Christ and God.
Therein,
when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then
and if you
shall
go
you
ahead and you
be
meditate
in
it, Joshua,
so
you
see
walk
here,
in it,
the Bible clearly says over and over
it,
that the world
all
is not a permanent
written
home.
Therein,
and as we already heard, we're sojourners, we're travelers, we're not here forever.
Thou shalt.
That we should never be comfortable.
Here in these verses, it tells us to set our affections on things above, the things we look after, the things we search after, things that we want more than anything. They shouldn't be in this world. We should want Christ, and Christ isn't here right now. He's in the world, and he's working in the world. You know, we know it's heaven sitting at the right hand of God. And, so forth, and we should set our affections on things above. We need not to be stuck in this world and want to stay here forever. We should be ready and looking forward to that great day when Christ returns or when Christ calls us home.
I make it a goal every year to read.
But we also need not forget the need of this world. And that's when we forget the need of this world, that's when we become like the world. And that's when we become comfortable. Once we become comfortable, we conform to the world. You can't conform unless you're comfortable. Conformity with the world and being friends with the world is, as it says in the Bible, it's enmity with God. We become a strict enemy of God if we're friends with the world.
Boy, you ought to get into
so I want to challenge you in this new year. Be ready to leave. Be ready to go home. But also be ready to reach someone. Be ready to reach those that are lost. Let's pray.
Many can go ahead and touch it. We have it in our laps right now. We come close to it.
Lord, you look on the heart, Lord, and I know that if this was ordained by you, then you reached someone, Lord. I just pray you did, God, in your name.
He used to say he read the Bible until it burned. He says, you know what? He didn't go ahead and put it on until he knew that. Or he got something. He allowed the word of God. He made sure he wasn't going to put it away. He rescheduled everything. He literally said, "I'm going to let it burn in my soul."
Good. Night's not quite over yet. Amen. Right now, we have a treat.
The word of God can change your life. Don't be casual with it. Then number three. Some are casual about their prayer closet. Matthew chapter 6, a very familiar verse as well, but I'm going to read it real quick, and then I'll be through. Matthew chapter 6. But thou, when thou prayest, of course, Jesus is teaching how to pray here. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. When thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret.
There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus.
A prayer closet.
No, not one. No, not one.
Christian.
None else can heal all our souls' diseases. No, not one.
You take
no, not one. Jesus knows all about our sorrows. He will guide till the day is done. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. There's not an hour that he is not near us.
In everything.
No, not one. No, not one. No night so dark but his love can cheer us. No, not one. No, not one. Jesus knows all about our struggles. He will guide till the day is done. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. Was e'er a gift like the Savior given? No, not one. No, not one. Will he refuse us a home in heaven? No, not one. No, not one. Jesus knows all about our struggles. He will guide till the day is done. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one.
Maybe you're kind of casual with your needs. Maybe you kind of got that out. Lost one today, you know what? Jesus will save you if you let him. Maybe here today you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior. You couldn't say for sure that if you were to die right now that you'd have a home in heaven. Let me tell you something, my friend. You can know before you leave this place today.
You know, he's behind his creature and he's been right there.
You can reach out, so to speak, to the hem of his garment, and you can leave whole. You can leave differently than you came this morning.
All right.
Lost one, don't you let the devil go ahead and push you away. Don't you be fearful about what anybody thinks.
Amen. What a night. I'm excited. It's great to hear those teens come up here and preach. Man, that was great.
Amen. Decide. And you know, like preacher said, I'd encourage you.
I'm gonna know for sure before I leave this place that I'm a child of God. The Bible says these things that I write unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know.
Brother Ron, God bless you.
Eternal life, my friend.
Being there,
you don't know Jesus as your Savior.
Miss Dolly, Miss Debbie, amen. Let me tell you,
you can be standing on a solid foundation like
the
preacher
is
this morning, and know for sure that you have a home in heaven. By the way, we don't know when life will end.
Exodus 17.
Life, the Bible says life is but a vapor.
But I don't know if anybody caught the sunset tonight.
Life is so uncertain.
But let me tell you, the earth truly is full of God's glory.
We don't know.
It was beautiful.
We just don't know when life.
Every time I see that sunset, my wife was snapping pictures of it.
We caught it at a certain
point.
I'm not trying to scare anybody, but that's
just, boy, let me tell you, God just reveals his glory. You just take a time sometimes to stop and look at it and see what he's put out there for us. What a blessing. What a blessing.
My friend,
Exodus 17.
You can come to know him in just a little while. Why don't you just forget about any feelings about anybody? You just
all right,
step
Exodus
out.
17.
If you feel
we're
the Holy Spirit working
verse
on your heart,
and
you just march out of that seat.
Eight.
You come down, you shake
the
my
Bible
hand.
Says, and then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. And Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men and go.
Jesus said,
fight with Amalek tomorrow.
I
will stand on top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand.
No
so Joshua did as Moses had said to him, and fought with Amalek, and Moses, Aaron, and Hur went
said,
up on the
what?
Top of the hill.
The church will not
and it
save
came
you.
To pass when Moses
works
held up his hand
you.
That Israel
all this,
prevailed.
All this cannot save
and when he let
you.
Down
said,
his hand, Amalek
way,
prevailed.
Where's the Father? He's in heaven.
But Moses' hands were heavy.
We can get to where God
and they
is,
took a stone and put it under him. And he sat thereon. And Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on one side and the other on the other side. And his hands were steady until the going down
God
of the sun.
His love toward us,
and Joshua discomforted Amalek
and, all you have to
and
do
his people with the edge
Lord,
of the sword.
And
let's pray.
Save me.
Heavenly Father, you've laid this message.
Take me to heaven when
I
die,
heart,
for whosoever shall
Lord,
call.
Just
anoint
my lips that I may preach
say,
it as
hey,
if you yourself were here preaching it, Father. Lord, I just
you need to do business
I pray,
with God
Father,
this morning on say
move
one.
In each person's heart now tonight. Lord, I pray
saved.
That you just
hey,
give them the meaning
Christian,
of this message that you've given me now,
casual,
Lord. And Father, I pray that you just
maybe you got to sharpen
tonight,
some things
Lord,
up this year.
Take the distractions away.
Maybe there's this
devil, Father, and Lord, I pray that you
petty sin that you have that you just don't want to let go
Lord,
a bunch of after a little while. Just
wonderful preaching
reach out to
that
his
we heard tonight, Lord,
it off at the altar
and just seeing you move in the lives of these teens. What a blessing it is, Father.
Maybe burden
Lord,
on
I
this
just
morning.
Praise you and thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. All right.
Like that,
we have a biblical recount here
heavy,
of the children of Israel.
I feel like you've gone just
battle.
As far as you can go.
All right. As you know, God chose Moses. Actually, I'm going
to.
Can I grab the red mic, please, Brother Rick?
To the altar later.
All right. Say excellent. As you know, God chose Moses. He handpicked Moses to lead the children of Israel out of
I
Egypt.
Know you're my friend.
The children
friend
of Israel were in Egypt, and they were
your
not separated. They could not
me
worship the way
me.
That God wanted them
because
to, and he handpicked me. Moses. Now, Moses at first said, what? No.
Why don't you?
Not
come.
Me. You want me to go? You know, now, he handpicked Moses, and he chose Moses to go
casuals.
Over and to pull the children of Israel out from under Pharaoh's control.
Why don't you
and he separated them. He led them out of Egypt. We know the story. We know about the plagues.
Church,
and he led them out of
casual.
Egypt
maybe you could make it
to the promised
the
land.
May be.
And at this point that we come here, it had been, I believe, about 2 months when they encountered this first battle.
Maybe you're here, you're not saved.
They encountered, if you look, the Bible says in verse 8, says, then came Amalek. And fought
it's been a
with
long
Israel.
Time that you allowed
about 2 months, just before this, if you read a little bit in the chapter before this,
just
was when Moses had smote his rod against the rock and water flowed out. And the children of Israel now, Amalek is coming up against them.
That's what happened to this one.
And this battle is with a group called the Amalekites. And it's interesting to note here that the first battle that the children of Israel come against
many
is with the Amalekites. And if
probably
you know a little bit about this, the Amalekites, they were, when
woman,
they were in Egypt, Egypt symbolized what?
Broken,
the world.
Everything.
The Amalekites symbolized the flesh. The first battle
the
that,
only
the,
one of
that the children of Israel faced
that left differently
was with the flesh.
Was this woman.
And how true is that as Christians? How often as Christians do we face a battle with the flesh? Very often Christians, when they get converted, one of the first battles they'll face is a battle with the flesh. And that battle does not end. It continues.
Thought, Lord Jesus.
It continues
thank
until one day.
Word.
One day it'll end. Amen. It'll end. Amen.
God,
one day.
The very best I
you know,
can, with your help.
But this battle
I've asked
is between the spirit
you word.
And the flesh. It's probably one of the most common and intense. We see the Apostle Paul speaking. Turn in your Bible. We were there once already. Go back to Romans 7.
Whatever needs to be done this morning.
Romans 7, we see Paul talking about this very battle.
Maybe they need to get some things right. Boy, today would be a good day to deal with that.
All right, let me learn where it is.
Maybe there's a Christian here. They're strong.
Romans chapter 7.
They're on their way to heaven. They're in church. They read the word of God, but they've got a need.
And look at verse 18, Romans 7:18.
God, that whatever it is, they'll just lay it out and they'll
For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth
no good
thing.
Maybe there's an unsaved one here.
For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would, I do not.
No.
But the evil which I would not, that I do.
Our heads are bowed.
Now, if I do that, I would not. It is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me.
God spoke to my heart this morning. I will.
I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me.
That's me. Here's my hand.
For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind.
Push me away right now. He's trying to do everything he can, but the Holy Spirit, he did something this morning.
He's talking there about the battle. Same battle that the children of Israel are going through. It's the battle of the spirit versus the battle of the flesh. The spirit versus the flesh. You know, this is a battle for Christians today. It was a battle for the children of Israel. It's a battle you and I will face every day of our Christian life.
Go to that
However, it's
hell.
Not my sermon.
That's what the Bible says is a heaven.
I just
wanted
to talk about
it
for a minute because it's in the story.
I know Jesus.
I'm not going to talk about the battle between
about this matter?
The spirit and the flesh.
I don't know Jesus as my Savior. But
if there's a Christian here tonight, I think they know that they're battling the flesh.
I don't know Jesus.
If there's a Christian here tonight who says they're not battling the flesh, do me a favor.
I want to know Jesus as my Savior.
I'd like to talk to you a little bit. Maybe find out what you're doing. What I want to talk about is how the battle was won.
If you like that this morning, don't you
I want to talk about how the battle was won. You see, this battle was won not by military might. This battle between the Israelites and the Amalekites, this was the first battle that the Israelites had been in. This is the first mention of Joshua that we see. This is Moses said, hey, Joshua, go get some men together. I need you to go out and battle these Amalekites.
I plead with you this morning, don't leave like that.
It wasn't won by some kind of special forces. He didn't send the Israeli army rangers in there. They didn't have an air attack. They didn't have any kind of special skilled soldiers that came in. It wasn't by brute force. It wasn't by any special forces. You want to know how this victory came?
Holy Spirit.
This victory came.
Holy Spirit.
By the way, of three men that were on a hill overseeing this battle.
Whatever needs to be done, may your work be done. Our heads about
our
eyes are closed.
It came.
Heads about, our eyes are closed. The music in just a moment is going
to
play. I surrender all to Jesus.
I want you to look. You look at,
I surrender all to him I freely give. Maybe you need to make way to an altar here after a while, and you lay that need out. Backslidden one, maybe there's some sin you need to lay out. Hey, if you're unsaved this morning, you just step out of that
sin.
We will rejoice with you. We'll have someone show you from the Bible how you can know for sure you're on your way to heaven. Won't you do that? The music's going to play. All to Jesus. I surrender. I surrender all. I surrender all. You lost this morning. You don't know Jesus. Just step out this morning. I'll shake your hand and we'll show you from the Word of God how you can be saved. That's it. That's it.
And Moses,
I want to know this morning.
Aaron and Hur went up.
I want to be saved.
To the top of the hill.
I want to become a child of God.
And it came to pass when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. You see, this is where the battle was won, folks.
That's
Moses
it.
Was up on a hill. He was foreseeing the battle between between the people, his
who
flock,
me.
If you will, the people who God
was
put for him to lead.
And this lady, she came with a need.
And he was standing on that hill.
She was the one that touched Jesus.
My little rod here.
Because
he had the rod of God, and he had
Aaron,
and he had her, and they were up on that hill.
How about you this morning?
And preacher, you're going to be out, Moses. Could you stand up here for a minute,
need to reach out to Jesus this morning.
And he had that rod, and he held that rod up. And I believe as he was holding that rod up, he was crying out to God. He was making intercessory prayer. Preacher, I think both his hands were dropped. He was crying out to God. Amen. He was crying out to God. He was making intercessory prayer. He was praying on behalf of the children of Israel. He saw them battling this first battle, this battle against the flesh.
Still work being done here
and
at the altar.
He was
still
crying.
Open.
I mean, I think he was on praying
all the
as hard as
done,
he could. And as he prayed,
open. That's it. Anybody?
Like a man, he began to get weary. You know something, folks? Tonight, God has set somebody over this church. God has hand-chosen somebody over this church tonight, and that is our pastor, Pastor Weeks. And can I tell you right now,
all.
Part of his calling as a pastor is to pray for his flock. I can tell you right now, have I asked him this? No, but I know, no, Pastor Weeks, I can tell you he spends time on his face in his office praying for you and me. He spends time making intercessory prayer just as Moses stood on that hill and prayed for those children of Israel. But you see, Moses prayed. And he was up there and he was praying. This is where that battle was won. And preacher, you just hold still for a minute because I'm going to go off on a rabbit trail. Amen. Amen. Keep that rod up. Amen. I'm gonna squeeze in a second point while preacher, while you hold that rod nice and high, I promise it won't take more than 20 minutes to get this second point in. All right. Well, I want to go in for one second. Still open. I just want to take a minute. I promise you'll be okay. It'll be okay.
Still playing.
I want to tell you a bit about where the enemy comes from. The enemy that the children of Israel are facing right now are the Amalekites. And if you know anything about the Amalekites come from someone named Amalek. And Amalek is a great-grandson, I believe it is, of Esau. Esau was Jacob's brother. We're going to go back into a little bit of history here. And if you know anything about Esau, Esau married an Ishmaelitess. Now, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 6:14, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness?
It doesn't actually say come up. I have that.
But what I'm saying is the Amalekites came from an unholy union of Esau with an Ishmaelitess. And Esau and that Ishmaelitess also hath produced Edom. And from Edom came the Edomites. And if you read the book of Obadiah, you'll see the final judgment of the Edomites. And the Edomites and the Amalekites routinely came up against.
And the Father, the children thank you for Israel. Those that reached and touched.
What I'm trying to make here, a point is, garment. Be careful of unholy
we
unions.
Pray, Lord Jesus,
teenagers,
that you help us
teenagers,
this message in
right up here,
how important it is.
Let me tell you,
no
you're at the age,
the
or you're coming to that age,
no matter what
you're
going to
be looking at dating,
reach out
you're going
to
be looking at getting married.
Answer.
Keep that up, preacher,
pray,
keep
Lord
that
Jesus,
up.
That you be with
keep
us
that up, this is your flock out here you're praying for. You've got
to
watch out for these unholy unions. Let me tell you, the result of them is throughout the Bible. You remember that man named Lot?
We thank you for all these things in Jesus' name.
Had an unholy union. He had an incestuous relationship with his two daughters. From that relationship came Moab and the Moabites who went against the Israelites. And from that also came Benjamin, from whom came the Ammonites. And you can go back to Abraham. Abraham had an unholy and incestuous relationship with Hagar. Not incestuous, I'm sorry. An unholy relationship with Hagar, from which came Ishmael, from whom the Muslims trace their history. Teens, I wanted to go there just so I could kind of warn you a little bit. Be careful with unholy unions. Make sure you date right. Make sure you keep yourselves pure and holy. You watch and you guard yourselves. But now we're going to get back to Moses up here. How you doing? Doing okay? You know, Moses being just a man, he was up on that hill. And he was up on that hill. And he was praying and he was crying out for his children that were, well, not his children, but God's children who were fighting down on the field. And every time he began to get weary, because Moses was just a man, folks. He was one of the greatest leaders to ever walk the earth, I do believe, but he was just a man. And as that rod began to come down, I believe Moses didn't even realize it. I think he was crying. I think he was crying out to God and he was just getting weary and that began to come down. But you know what? Brother Ron, Brother Robles, can you come up here for a minute? You see, as he grew weak, he had an Aaron. Come here, brother. And a Hur. And no, come here. Grab this chair. They put a rock. They put a rock behind him. And then, come on over here, Hur. And they came over and they held his hands up. They came over and they lifted up the arms of Moses. You see, Moses had an Aaron and a Hur. And they came. And let's look and see as we read. The Bible says in Joshua, as we continue to read, it says, but Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereon. And Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on the one side and the other on the other side. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. You know something? I think you understand where I'm going to. Not only did they hold up his hands, I believe that means they made intercessory prayer for their pastor. You know something? Our pastor makes intercessory prayer for us. That means he prays on our behalf to God. We need to do the same for him. You know something? We are going into a year, 2009, where we have a lot planned for this church. Pastor has shared with me some of the stuff that he has a plan. He has a vision for where we want to go in 2009. Man, I'm excited. I'm excited. I'm telling you, but you know something? He's going to need you behind him. He's going to need an Aaron. He's going to need a her. He's going to need multiple Aarons and hers, knowing that he's got the support of his congregation, whether it be a change in the building, whether it be a new bus route, whether it be a different Sunday school class, whether he's going to add something, whatever it may be, whether it's a speaker he's going to bring in, he needs to know that he's got the support of an Aaron and a her on his side. And he needs to know that he's got his congregation praying for him, lifting him up to God. I'll tell you right now, I believe when Aaron and her, I believe they were praying for Moses. I believe they were lifting his name up, saying, God, please give him the strength to keep that rod up. Give him the strength to continue praying that we may see the victory. You see, Moses had an Aaron and a her. Our pastor needs an Aaron and a her. He shouldn't have to worry, well, what will happen if I separate this Sunday school class? Who will be mad if I do this? Well, what will happen? He needs to know that we're on his side and we're there ready for him. He needs an Aaron and a her. And the last point I want to make, and I'm going to be done, is you notice when you read the story, Moses didn't have to ask Aaron and her to come up and help. He didn't have to ask them. They were already there. If you look, it says, he took it. Says Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone and put it under him. And he sat there on, and Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on one side and the other on the other side, till the going down of the sun. He didn't need to say, hello, guys, hello, need a little help over here, yoo-hoo, come on. No, they were there. They saw the need of their leader. They were there, they were ready. You know, I have a very simple conclusion. I'm just going to ask every person in this congregation, are you willing to be an Aaron and a her for our pastor tonight? Are you willing to stand behind our pastor as we move into 2009? Are you willing to be there to hold his hands up? Thank you, guys. You can go down. Are you willing to be there to be the Aaron and the her? Will you be there to pray for our pastor? Will you be there to come and make intercession for our pastor? Will you be there to be the ones? But not only that, will you be there to recognize the need before he has to ask you for it? You know, our pastor needs prayer every day. Your arm's okay, brother? Thank you. Okay, preacher. Excellent. You know something? The devil's coming hard against Christians. You know, he doesn't have to come hard against non-Christians. He's already got them. He's already got the lost. You want to know who he's coming after? Right there, people who are winning others to Christ. All right, he's coming after soul winners. He's coming after the Sunday school teachers. He's coming after the people who are going out on Saturday mornings. He's coming after bus workers. He's coming after those who are serving God. He's coming after the saints today. But I'm telling you, I think he's attacking pastors really hard. Especially pastors who are moving forward and seeing some fruit. We need to be praying for our pastor. We need to be lifting him up in prayer. And I'm going to ask Brother Sean, I'm going to ask you to get on the piano. I'm going to have a simple invitation right now. And I'm going to simply ask you, will you come and will you kneel down at this altar and will you lift up a prayer for your pastor and for your church? Will you take this time to show your pastor and your preacher and say, preacher, I am behind you. I am here. I am willing to lift your name up to prayer, to pray that God support you. I am willing to come forward, and I am willing to be there. I'm willing to recognize that you may have a need even before you need to tell me or bring it to your congregation. Folks, that means that we need to talk to our pastor a little. It means that we need to be there for him. We need to maybe shake his hand and say, preacher, you know what? I'm there for you. I'm there for you. I love what Isaiah said when he was called. Here am I will go. He didn't say, I will go here, or I will only do this. No, he said, here am I will go. Are you willing to just go up to preacher and say, preacher, I'm here for you. I'll be your Aaron. I'll be your her. Everyone stand to your feet. If everyone would stand to their feet. The music's going to play. Every head is bowed. Heavenly Father, I pray that you just have your hand over our whole congregation. Lord, I'm excited about what you have in store for 2009. Lord, I pray that you be with our preacher. I pray you strengthen him. I pray, Father God, that you just raise up some servants in this church. And I pray that you just strengthen our preacher and help him in any way he needs help. And guard him, bind the devil on every side. As that music plays, can you please come and lift up a prayer for our preacher tonight? Amen.